Morning, Crossroads. It is great to see you here. I missed you guys last week. I hope you had fun in the snow. Anybody get out in the snow? Have a good time. We made a snowman with pecs and ripped abs. It was awesome. So other than that, it was a normal snowman. But we had a good time. I hope you did too. But I'm excited today to share with you what we were supposed to talk about last Sunday. And that is part two of a series. We're talking about God's dream for our community. And so whether you're a first timer here or you missed last week or 2 weeks ago, if you just need a reminder, I want to say specifically what we believe God's dream is for our community. It was on the video, but let me just state it again. We believe God wants to transform this community, that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth right here as it is in heaven. We believe God wants to transform our community by seeing 2,000 people connected in a small group, living the abundant life and having valuable relationships and giving their life away and making other disciples to bring in God's kingdom by 2030. That's what we believe God wants to do here. That's what we believe God wants to do. Now, we had a moment 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we had a moment two weeks ago where we kind of said, do you believe, do you think God's calling us to this? And I think almost everybody was standing up and it was a moment, right? Yes. And then you went home and you're like, wait a minute. I think maybe Pastor Rod's off his rocker a little bit. You know, I'm not so sure. That's a big number. So here's what I want to do. Today, I want to unpack further what we believe God's calling us to do as a church. And, you know, the future is created three times. First of all, the future is in God's hands. It's in the eternal mind of God. There is no future to him. He knows all that's going to come to pass. And so it's in the mind of God, and then it gets revealed to man. And that's what was talked about last week, what we believe God's calling us to and a picture of that in our minds. Today, the third way the future is revealed is when it's actually fleshed out, right? So we're going to talk today about how is this vision going to be fleshed out in our community, and what our part is in it. And I can tell you this, I promise you, I know for certain I don't have the leadership skills to go there. And I also know we don't have all the resources and people that God's going to use to fulfill this vision. But here's what I do know. I believe there is a God in heaven who longs to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and he will unleash the resources of heaven to see that happen. That's what we're believing God for. So I want to point your attention to Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. And really, it is a vision statement that God shares with us today. And he says this, now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's quite a prayer, isn't it? He said, God can do all things more than we imagine. And I'm wondering this morning if we genuinely believe that. I mean, we just pray there's power. There's the powerful name of Jesus. Do we believe that simply the name of Jesus can change things? Do we believe in a supernatural God who transforms hearts and lives? Do we believe in a God who can actually transform a community? I can tell you the author who God inspired to write this, Paul did. Paul absolutely believed it. He believed in a big God who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. He believed it because God said it to him and it became scripture, and it was scripture. He believed it because he'd actually seen it fleshed out before him. And we can believe it too. We can believe it too. After all, didn't our God raise his son Jesus Christ from the dead? I mean, he created the laws of science, and then he didn't follow the science. I mean, our God, he interrupted the laws of physics and science and brought his son, Jesus Christ, back from the dead. He can do anything. So let me ask you, why are we so afraid to trust God to do the impossible right here? Are we afraid of that? See, simply based on who God is, simply based on the fact that he says it in his word, we have everything that we need to believe that God can do more than we can ask or imagine. I believe Paul believed that because he had experienced it as well. I want to point your attention to Acts chapter 19 and starting in verse 10. And he explains this. He says, Paul took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, the region of Asia, this is the Roman province of Asia that he's referring to. It's modern-day Turkey, and in Paul's day, it was a smaller crowd. Today, it's about 60 million people. In Paul's day, we're talking 6 to 8 million people, and what God's word said is something really miraculous happened, because in 2 years' time, that whole province heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They heard the gospel. Think about that. How in the world does that happen? That sounds incredible to me. What are the logistics behind that? How do you get a message to that many people? You don't have any modern devices to get it out, but it spread like crazy, and God did something miraculous in their midst. Now, guess where the Hall of Tyrannus is located? This is so cool. It's in the city of Ephesus. That passage we started with, Ephesians chapter 3, was written to the people that this happened among. And so what Paul is saying, I want to remind you that of all people, of any people on the planet that ought to believe that our God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, it should be you people, because you witnessed it firsthand, how literally millions of people heard the good news in 2 years. Our God does incredible things. Our God is a big God. Our God can do the impossible. Our God can make a way where there is no way. God can do it. Paul knew that. I believe we can know that. I think we can have certainty about that as well. I mean, we have the example right here in Acts and Ephesians for ourselves. We see that God did something amazing right here, but let's go back for a second. Go back to the first verse of your Bible, and it says, in a moment, God spoke the universe. Think about how vast we're talking. The universe into existence with a word. And boom, the universe was created. Our God can do what is impossible. Our God covered this earth with water, and there's fossils on top of mountain ranges. There's scientific evidence that God covered the earth with water, and he preserved the life of a few in the boat, and he kept them safe, and he started over the humanity. And he got this amazing, miraculous thing, and he did it because he can do the impossible. Then later, the people of Israel were being delivered out of Egypt, and they got trapped. They were against the Red Sea, a large body of water, and Pharaoh had a change of heart, and he sent his army to go and to capture them and bring them back. And as they're bearing down on the people of Israel, God does this amazing thing where he literally parts the waters, and they walk across on dry land, and they have found Egyptian chariots in the bottom of the Red Sea. Our God can do the impossible. It's in black and white. We know it to be true. And God didn't just do it in that day. He can do it in this day. You know what God's part is? To do what only God can do. You know what God's part is to do the impossible, the thing we could only think or imagine. God says, I can do more than that. I can do it. So that's God's part. You know what our part is? And that's really where I want to spend the rest of our time. If God said, hey, this is what I want our community to look like, what's our part in this? Our part is that we would ask big. We would ask big. Did you see what he said there in Ephesians 3:20? He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we, what's the word? Ask. One person read it. All we ask. He said, I want you to ask. I'm going to do this, but there's a part that you play in that you would come and ask for me to do what is impossible to do. See, as followers of Christ, we don't need to pray timid prayers. We can pray big prayers. We can pray bold prayers. We can pray expectant prayers because our God can come through, right? He can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is in work within us. We know that God hears our prayers. The scriptures promise that. God promises to answer our prayers, although sometimes it's not always the way we want him to answer them. He promises to answer them. He sends his son who stands before the Father and makes intercession on our behalf. And when he says we don't know what to pray, the Spirit of God groans on our behalf and he lifts up our prayers. We have all the resources of heaven behind our prayers. So he says, pray big. Trust me to do what only I can do. Because when we pray big and we ask big, we are cultivating a dependence upon God. You know what that's what prayer is all about? cultivating a dependence of prayer in your life and in my life, knowing that if God doesn't show up, we're sunk, that he's the one that has to make the way. Picture yourself, you're part of the million people come out of slavery and you're stuck in front of this huge body of water and these chariots are going to run you over and there's nothing you can do. You are stuck. You have no way to stop it. And so you cry out to God and God parts the Red Sea and you can walk across on dry land. It's in that moment of dependence that you cry out and God comes through. Can I tell you, in your life, and God had him right where he wanted him. Completely dependent on him. Can I tell you, in your life and my life, it's no different. When you find yourself in a place and you feel stuck and you can't fix it, that's exactly sometimes where God wants you to be. When you say, man, my finances are a wreck, God, and I've tried all these different programs and I've tried the envelope system and I've tried this and that, and I just don't have the self-control I need and I can't do it on my own, but I need you to help me and I need your help. He says, I got you right where I want you. We say, God, I know the sin nature in me, and I wish I could say no to those things I say yes to, and I wish I could grow and be more holy, and there's these things in my life I wish I could be rid of, and I just can't seem to have the discipline and the strength to do it on my own, and I can't fix myself, and I need you to fix me. God, would you fix me? He's got you right where he wants you to be. You say, God, this relationship with this person is torn and my heart breaks that I'm not close to them like I used to, and I don't know how to fix it, and I can't seem to get my point across, and they're misunderstanding me, and this thing's tearing apart, and I can't fix this relationship. God, you've got to come in and fix it. Let me tell you something. He's got you right where he wants you to be. It reminds us, our prayers remind us that we need God in our lives. One of the great ways that we can grow spiritually in our development with him is when we pray big prayers and we trust God for things that only he can do. It keeps us on our knees and it keeps us in raw dependence on God. Church, let me just tell you, God is asking us on behalf of our community and the lives of the people that we see at school and work in our neighborhoods and at the grocery stores and everywhere that we turn, that he's calling on us to come on their behalf and to ask big that the God of the universe would intervene in their life so that they would know him in a personal and profound way. This community would be changed forever because the God of heaven unleashes his resources to change this place. He's inviting us to come and pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. So let's talk a little bit about prayer. Jesus teaches several places, but one of them is in Luke 18. He gives us a great teaching on prayer. And I believe we pray, but sometimes we don't pray like we could pray. And so he gives us a great example in Luke 18. And it says this: Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and to not give up. So I'm going to read the parable. Before that, I want to say, I love it when Jesus tells us the points of the parables, don't you? We don't have to guess, right? So the point is, if you get nothing else, is that we should always pray and not give up. The whole point is to always pray and to not give up. Then it says this. Then he said, a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Sounds like a nice guy. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Some versions say, or to wear me out. She was wearing him out. She was rubbing him down to a nub. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some people can wear you down. She was wearing him down to the nub. Then it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? saying, listen, our God is better than that judge. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. He longs to answer our prayers. He's better than the judge. But I want you to see that sometimes we miss out on what God's asking us to pray because we don't pray like this widow, and we need to learn to pray like this precious woman. First thing I want you to see is that she prayed specifically. She wasn't him hauling around what you, and she didn't come to the judge and say, hey, judge, I hope that you just give a fair settlement and whatever you want to do, and then I'll be good with whatever happens. She said, no, judge, I want justice against my adversary. I specifically want you to act in this way. See, God doesn't answer vague prayers. What do I mean by that? I've prayed it. You've probably prayed it. You ever prayed, hey, God, be with so-and-so? I know God's in heaven going, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Be with someone, like if they're a follower of mine, I'm already in them. I'm with them. And if they're not a follower of mine, believe me, I'm working on it. I'm drawing them to myself. So what do you mean by be with so-and-so? What if maybe what we meant was, hey, God, this person I know is struggling and they're going through this trial and they have this problem going on and they're worried and they're anxious and they're in despair. God, here's my prayer, that they would know your peace in a profound way. God, that when they tempted to have fear or doubt or anxiety, that they would turn those things over to you and they would learn to trust you and you would grow them in this moment, that they found you faithful and know your peace. God says, okay, good. I got something to work with now. I can answer that prayer. We could pray, hey, God, change our community. Be at work in our community. God's like, what else you got? I'm already doing that. He's already at work here. I'm already at work. So when we say, God, we want to see 2,000 people in small groups by 2030, we're asking something very specific of God so that he might get the glory when he does it. I'll just point you to the snow. We missed this in your packet. Hopefully you got one of these. Now, this message was supposed to be preached last week. Remember the snow? We missed this. And we kicked off a week of prayer, and we had it this past week. And so I was really going to pump y'all up to be here all week and pray. And we didn't all get to do that. But we're giving you this prayer guide because we're going to ask all of us as a church to pray for God to do some specifically only God can do kind of things in our church and our community. We're going to ask specifically for him to come through and to change people's lives and to build up leaders and to bring his kingdom into this community. So I'm going to just challenge you, if you'll take one of these and begin to pray over this, and as God leads you into other prayers, that we would be all praying that God would do something incredible. So she prayed specifically, but she also prayed persistently, didn't she? She kept going. She kept annoying him. She kept bugging him. She kept coming to the judge over and over again. And I think sometimes we don't see God answer our prayers because we give up too early. We don't pray it through. We don't keep praying until the answer comes, and we lose hope too soon. Listen, the widow's persistence paid off. She kept coming and praying and asking. And finally, the judge yields to the cries of the widow. She was a stranger. He didn't care for her. He had no higher accountability. So the point of the parable is, listen, you don't have a heavenly father like that. You have a heavenly father who is intimately interested in everything that you ask for. He's intimately interested in everything about your life. And he loves you so much, more than you can imagine. He loves you. And the God who's sitting and listening to your prayers cares deeply. And he longs to give good gifts to his kids if he'll come and ask. Persistently. Can you imagine the people of Israel when God told them to march around Jericho and pray that they might capture that city? And so for 6 days they march around and they're like, this is stupid. Nothing's happening. And so after the 6th day they stop. They didn't do that. If they'd have stopped on the 6th day, the walls wouldn't have come down. It was on the 7th day, and they gave a shout, and by faith they trusted God, that God brought the walls down, and they got God delivered that city into their hand. Right before the answer is going to come, and we stop. God says, keep going in prayer. Keep persisting in prayer. If a judge who doesn't care gives the request, how much more will the loving God who loves you, who cares about what you're praying for, will he listen to the cries of his people if they keep asking? Jesus said, when you pray, you pray always and you don't give up. Let me just say, if you've given up on somebody or a situation, take these words of Jesus to heart. He's saying, listen, nobody is too far gone, and no situation is too far gone. You keep praying for that person. You keep praying for that situation. Don't give up, even though it looks bleak or it's gotten worse or you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You keep praying and never give up, because we got an amazing, supernatural God who answers prayers. Can I give a confession? I gave up. A couple years ago, I made a commitment to the Lord that I would come here on Thursdays and I would pray for 3 or 4 hours every Thursday. And I did that. I was doing that and praying and asking sort of the same thing, that God would send revival to this church and bring an awakening to our community, and that God would do what only he could do, and he would do something that he would get all the glory for. And I started out with a lot of gusto. And after a year, I stopped. And months have gone by, and God has made it incredibly clear to me that I am not supposed to stop, that we are to keep praying. I'm to keep praying, and we're to keep praying. I'm inviting you to come be a part of this, that we are to be a people who pray in the kingdom of God, that we pray in the work of God, that we ask big things of our God, and we have faith to trust him that he can do some things we've never seen him done before, where people can come to Christ and grow in him like we've never, ever seen before. So here's what we're doing. Thursdays, 6 to 8 a.m. for 15. Thursday nights, 6 to 8 p.m., this room will be open. You can drop in for 15 minutes. You can come for all 4 hours. But that we would be a church that comes and we ask God to do something miraculous, to bring people to saving faith in Jesus, to transform our community, to heal marriages, to restore families, to bring his life and hope, that his kingdom would come right here. I hope you'll come join us to see God do incredible things. We're going to pray consistently. Thirdly, I want you to see one more thing about this widow. She prayed in faith. She came in faith. I think sometimes we ask God and we really don't expect him to come through, do we? Sometimes we ask with a lot of doubt. James says you shouldn't ask with doubt. He says you need to believe what you're asking for. Now, I will say this. Just because we ask in faith doesn't guarantee that God's going to do what we ask him to do. But I will say this, if we don't ask in faith, it's a pretty good way to short circuit the power of God in your prayer. We need to believe that he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So let me ask you, how big is your God? Is he big enough to do the impossible? Is he big enough to reach that person you think is too far gone? Is he a big enough God to transform the family dynamic in your home? Is he a big enough God to repair relationships that have been broken apart? Is he a big enough God to break addiction in your life? Is he a big enough God to use you for his purposes on this earth? How big is your God? See, I believe this. He can just take us regular folks here in Crossroads. And if we pray big and we come faithfully and we come consistently and we come in faith, that God would use us to transform this community for him. Amen. That's what I believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. So when we pray boldly, consistently, faithfully, we pray like it all depends on God, God can do something remarkable, more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So our part is to ask big. Secondly, there's two pieces to this. God's part's to do what only he can do. Our part is to ask big, and our part is to work in his power. That we work in his power. In fact, that's what it said in Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, where is it at work? Within us. So we need to ask big and trust God. But look, we can't just say, okay, God, we're going to ask you and trust you to do something amazing in this community and then sit back and expect him to do everything else. That's not how it works. He said, I'm going to work, but I'm going to work in you. My power is going to be unleashed in you. My gospel is going to go out through you. My love is going to be demonstrated through you. My service is going to happen through you. All this is going to be my power at work in you. Now, let's be clear. We can't do this on our own strength, but it's his power in us that can. See, this is what I believe. When we work in his power, we'll see God-like results. We'll see supernatural things happen. You know the greatest miracle you could ever witness was when somebody apart from God and has no relationship with their loving Father steps into a relationship with him, their eternity is forever changed. Let me tell you something. That's a miracle I never get tired of seeing. How about you? I love seeing when God takes somebody far from him and introduces his son Jesus to them, and they're radically changed because they have an encounter with the living God, and they learn to follow him the rest of their life. Guys, that's the thing we want to see happen over and over again in this community, right? So what exactly is this work we're supposed to be doing? Let me ask it to you this way. What is the one thing we've got to be focused on if we're going to see our faith passed on to the next generation, if we're going to see our faith passed on to people that aren't in church this morning, if we're going to see our faith passed on to people who doubt or have fears or are not sure about all this, what is the one thing we've got to be focused on? It's people, right? Our faith gets passed on to people. Here's what I mean. We can have a beautiful facility and miss out on the work of God. You agree with that? We can sing beautiful music on Sunday morning and experience the presence of God and worship him and have an amazing worship encounter with the living God. But if we just limit ourselves to that, we can miss out on the work of God, right? And we can have great teaching and have sermons week after week, but we can miss out on the work of God. We can do good things for the people in our community and minister to their temporary needs so that they have a more comfortable life right now. But if we only do that, we will miss out on the work of God. See, the work of God is the seeing lives transform by the supernatural power of Jesus Christ, who calls them into relationship with the Heavenly Father, and their lives are never the same. Our work is seeing the faith passed on person to person to all people have heard and all people have known and all people follow the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the work. And Jesus said it this way, my work is that you would go and what? Make disciples. It's about people. They've got to know me and grow in me. The work of the church is to make disciples. Your work and my work is to make disciples. That we're intentional about helping develop people spiritually in their life. That we're intentional about trying to reach out to people who have yet to been introduced to the Heavenly Father, and they're living their life without God and not really in communion with him. And we get the part of introducing them, and they come into relationship with God. Your work and my work is to reach people for Jesus. That's your work and my work. That's our work together. When people step out of darkness, and let's just be real, if they don't have God in their life, guess where they're living? I mean, we put on a good face. People smile at you. People go about their day. They have jobs like you. They have homes like you. They have lives like you. But they're literally living in darkness apart from Jesus Christ. And when people get moved out of darkness into his glorious light, it radically changes them for eternity. That is the work of God that I believe every single Christ follower gets the joy of being a part of. Do you believe that? That isn't for pastors or staff or elders or super spiritual people or that group. Literally every person God's inviting to come be a part of his work, that I want to use you and you and you to make myself known to people that don't know me. So you're going to hear us use an acronym a lot, and it's BIG, B-I-G. And we're going to keep reminding you that all of us get to go big. What do we mean by that? I believe every single one of us can do this. We can all be a part of reaching people in our lives, in our little sphere of influence. We can be a part of God bringing them to faith in him. Begin with prayer. That we would just begin to pray. That you and I would make a commitment that we're going to be praying for the people in our lives. We either don't know if they know Jesus or we're pretty sure they don't know Jesus. That we're going to be praying for these people to come into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. That we would begin with prayer. Then I is invest. That we'd simply spend time intentionally with people that we're not sure if they know God. Isn't that what Jesus did? He was called a friend of sinner. He hung out with people, and it's awesome to hang out with believers, and we need that component in our life. But he's calling us to be intentional about investing our lives in people who need Jesus. And then G is the good news. At some point, and we're praying for them, and we're getting to know them, we become friends with them, and we're getting intimate with them. At some point, they need to hear the good news that their sins don't have to be paid for by themselves, that the Savior came, and he died upon a cross, that he took the penalty of our sin, and that by faith in Jesus Christ, they can be forgiven of their sins and have an eternal home in heaven and start a relationship with God that same day. That's the good news. So whether we text it to them and say, hey, watch this video, or we bring them to church, or we tell them our testimony, or we get trained how to share the good news with other people, or maybe all of the above, all of us play a part in sharing the good news with the people God's put in our life. We can be a people that go big. That's half of the work. That's half of the work. What's the other half? Other half is once they know Jesus, to help them grow, right? Help them grow in their faith. Help them to understand how to read and understand God's word and how to pray and what it looks like to have a faithful life, an obedient life, and a holy life, and how to give our resources away to the kingdom of God and how to sacrifice ourselves for the good of each other and how to share our faith with others. We get to help people grow in all these things. And listen, he wants to use the same thing as when we go big. Every single one of us can influence, was created someone else in that way. I believe every single one of us was created to help somebody else grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. That is the work he's called us to do. And I know, I've been there. Sometimes I still go back there and I think of a challenge like this and I think, I don't know. I don't think I can do this. I have never done this before, God. Maybe somebody else, God, but me? I mean, really, God? I don't know if this is for me. I'm not sure I can do that. I want to close with a short little story from the scriptures. And to set it up, it's the people of Israel who had gone out of Egypt and they wandered in the desert, and God's servant Moses had died, and now Joshua was their new leader, and they're on the eastern side of the Jordan, and on the western side is the promised land, the place God was leading them to. And he says, okay, now it's time. It's time for you to finally inherit the promise I had given to you. So it's time to cross the Jordan. And this is what it says. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people, carry it forward. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they will know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. Here's what I believe, church. I believe we're standing on the edge of the river. And I believe God's calling us to step out in faith and obedience. And he's calling us to go where you and I have never gone before. That we would be people that God uses to bring into his kingdom. And we would be people that help other people grow into a follower of Jesus Christ. That he's calling us to do things and go places we have never gone before. But like them, I think the question that was on their mind might be on your mind, to say, hey God, hey, just like in the Red Sea, why don't you part the Jordan first and then I'll walk to the other side. That's not what he said, is it? He said, I'm not going to do it that way this time. This time, I'm asking you to get your feet wet. I'm asking you to step in without the conclusion already been formed. Today, I'm asking you to take a step of faith to trust me and go into the river that I'll do something miraculous in your sight as you step out in faith first. And so that's what happens. They bring the ark into the water and the waters part and they walk across on dry land and they go into the promised land because they were willing to get their feet wet. But they had to be like you and me. They were looking at that water and they go, "What? I just got new sandals, man. I don't know if I want to do that, God. Woo, that water's cold. I don't want to cross that. Why don't you part it first?" And there's steps that the Lord is going to ask you and I to take, and maybe even today he's asking you to take, and he's saying, listen, you don't have to have all the answers first. You don't have to be totally this or that first. You're waiting for the other things to happen, and I'm telling you today, you need to step out on faith and trust me today, even without all the answers. It's time to get your feet wet. We're on the edge of the river, and God wants to use us to accomplish his purposes in this community, to draw lives to himself, to the people around you, your family and friends, your coworkers and your schoolmates. Will you get your feet wet? I'm going to ask if you'll bow your heads for a moment before we pray and just lead you through some questions, some very practical ways I believe God might be calling you to get your feet wet, to step out and trust him today. And the first invitation is this. You're living your life apart from the living God. And he's on the other side of the river. And there's been a barrier keeping you from him. And you know all about Jesus, and you know what he's done for you, and you know he died on the cross, and you know he rose from the dead. And you know that his promise, he said, I'll give you eternal life if you'll trust me, if you'll step out, if you'll come into the water. I can do for you what you can't do for yourself. I can save you from your sins and give you new life. Yet something's been holding you back and you've been making excuses. Today is the day. God said, it's time to get your feet wet. You can trust me. Life is better on the other side of the river than it is right here. Whenever questions and doubts you have can be answered as you step out and trust me, will you get your feet wet? If that's you and God's calling you to faith in Jesus Christ, you can just call out to him in faith and say, God, today I'm stepping into the water. I don't have to have every answer. But I believe Jesus died for me. And the life I can't seem to find on this side of the river, I believe he can give me through the finished work of Jesus on a cross and an empty tomb. And I'm placing my faith in Jesus today. Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins? I want you to lead my life. I surrender myself to you. Maybe the way you need to get your feet wet today is you start praying like this widow, trusting God for what you've been worried about, trusting God for what you can't fix on your own, trusting God to do in this community what only he can do, that we're going to pray big prayers and we're going to trust our big God to do amazing things in our midst. maybe the way you need to get your feet wet today is you say, okay, God, I've never done this before, but I'm going to go big. I believe you're calling me to, you want to use me, God, to impact other people into relationship with you. And God, I don't feel prepared and I've got all these excuses, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you I'm in. I'm going to step into the water. I'm going to get my feet wet and I'm going to pray and I'm going to look for people and I'm going to give them the good news one way or another. And God, I want to be used of you to see your kingdom come right here. God, I know there's a bunch of us in this room that our feet wet moment is taking that next step of growth. And we've been hearing about small groups, but we've never been in one, or we're not in one now. And you're saying, I don't know what a group looks like. I don't know what they're going to ask of me. I don't know everything in the Bible. What if they have all these questions? But God says, it's time to step in the water. The path to spiritual growth that you've been longing for and can't seem to find is on the other side of the river in Christian community as you grow with other believers. And it's time to get your feet wet. It's time for you to take up the mantle of being responsible for other people's spiritual growth in your home and in a small group and in the church. And you need to tell God this morning, God, I am totally unequipped, but I'm going to get my feet wet and I'm going to trust you and I'm going to step out. God, would you use me to impact other people's spiritual growth for eternity? God, we pray for your kingdom come and for your will to be done, that you would be glorified and lifted up among us in Jesus' name. Amen.